You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. Are we muted? No, we're not muted. All right, great. Brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boost. I'm your host, Rudo, with Blaze and Jesse Montano. That game sucked.
Yeah, I lost a bunch of money during that game, too, so super fun.
That was not a good hockey game. The Avs were never really in it because they were down 2-0 90 seconds into the hockey game. Thanks to Joe Pavelski.
Yeah, I hope Kayla's not watching this one. You know, Kayla from the comments before, I hope she's not watching this postgame.
Hey, congratulations to Joe. I mean, he scored 400 goals now in his career, 270 Stop! Of them against Stop! The Avs.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I thought you were going way more positive with that. Dude.
No, I was making a joke on the Avs' expense. And, you know.
It's him and then old... Crooked Helmet from Detroit. Yeah. Johan Franzen.
Franzen. There's a couple other guys.
I'd give that dude $1,000 to put his fucking helmet on straight once.
It's that old padding. Just never sat right.
Yeah, yellow and disgusting. It's like, you're in the NHL, dude. Get a helmet that fits.
I mean, the Avs got exactly what they deserved in the first period. They pretty much just didn't show up to the hockey game. I don't know what else to say about it. The first period was brutal for them. The defense was horrific.
The puck management was terrible.
Yeah.
It was just, you watched what Dallas was doing in that first period when it seemed like they were controlling zone time the entire first. They would win a race to a loose puck and wrap it around the wall, and they just had two guys pinching at the blue line on either side. And anytime the Avs got the puck, they just kind of gave it away, and Dallas wasn't trying to make a clean pass. They were just throwing it to where they knew people were. Pucks down the middle. And that was how Joe Pavelski scored twice.
I mean, it's like watching Pee Wee hockey, right? Like,
seriously,
Dallas moves the puck, and every Avs player just drifts towards it, and then they drift toward it over here. You know,
that's funny because my wife was here, and we were watching it in the bar, and she was like, "Man, this is watching bantam hockey right now. Like, this is bad hockey."
And look, enough, and I mean this, enough. With saying Eric Johnson is a top four defenseman. When Byram comes back, honestly, if I'm Jared Bednar, Eric Johnson's out.
No shot.
I'm not saying he will.
Lineup?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
I'm dressing Ryan Murray and Jack Johnson ahead of EJ right now.
You're crazy.
100, look me in the eye and actually tell me one thing that Eric Johnson did positive tonight. I dare either of you.
I'm not defending Eric Johnson.
One game? He's been the worst defenseman in this last seven game stretch by a mile.
Jack Johnson
by
was
a mile.
The other
awful
Johnson.
Tonight. By
yeah.
a mile.
Jack Johnson
Eric Johnson
was
has been the worst defenseman
worse.
On this team.
I'm not saying EJ's been good, but Jack Johnson's been worse.
They should have gotten rid of him. They should have given Seattle the first and the third to take him in the expansion draft. They didn't, and now you're strapped to him on what was a bad contract the day he signed it. And now you're still stuck with him. And it's only getting worse.
I don't
it's
disagree with that.
It's only getting worse.
I don't disagree that they should have got rid of him.
Give me Jack Johnson and Ryan Murray over EJ tonight.
That's
so, tonight.
You are right. Eric Johnson's not even tonight.
Not even tonight.
Playing Eric Johnson right now is brutal.
The first goal is entirely on Jack Johnson, who just
gets roasted by Joe Pavelski.
Both of them were on Johnson, weren't they?
No, the other one was
the
on
the second
like,
one was Eric Johnson just. Eric Johnson just decided to bail and leave two guys in front of the net.
That puck should have been out of the zone, though, but Murray tried to make this play to Jost, which created a puck battle, and then Jost lost it. But
dude, the puck dies on EJ's stick. He gets the puck in the offensive zone. He skates into the corner, does three different turns in either direction, then just gives it up. It's the same thing in all three zones. It's seriously becoming a problem for this Avs team that they are... continuing with the sacred cow of Eric Johnson, forcing him into the top four where he can't play. He cannot play there anymore. So
if we turn it down a couple notches, I think I agree with you. EJ has been bad. He has not been a positive impact on what the Avalanche have been doing.
Once.
Still would have him on the bottom pair over either of Jack Johnson and Ryan Murray. But
that is how much I think his game has fallen off. Seriously.
It's not working well in the top four.
Better get up before the trade deadline.
I thought he was going to take him. Who's going to take him? What, he's got two years left? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you know, two years ago, I thought he was a bottom pairing defenseman. Now, seriously, he's a seventh D to me. When this team is fully healthy, he's a seventh D.
And part of the reason why
I'll go bottom line.
Don't want to go hard on EJ specifically for this game is because the entire defense was awful. All of it.
And look, this frustration is the culmination of, I think Eric Johnson, since the start of this season, his play has just done this since game one. And it just, he's making plays tonight when your team is already struggling to manage the puck. You have a letter on your chest.
You cannot be
out there making plays like that.
Corsi means nothing tonight.
Guys, the
Avs outshot Dallas 21-1 in the third period because Dallas just stopped.
Yeah, if you look at the Corsi scores, it looks like the Avs.
Well, I was gonna say, that's where the advanced statistics stuff, it's tough on a night like tonight. Score effects are a thing.
Right.
I don't know what's AJ. Does AJ hate Eric Johnson?
No.
Oh.
I don't. I think they just like that you're on one right now.
Well, I've been pounding this table now for several years. I used to have tickets with my sister. We'd sit there and watch games and say the same thing. I have a couple buddies that I watch every game with, you know, up until I started back here. I've been saying this for years. He's struggling, man. He is struggling. The injuries have caught up with him. The age has caught up with him. And he's struggling. And it's all coming down to, you see a game like tonight where, again, you got a letter on your jersey. You're playing in the top four. They roll you out there to be a steadying, calming presence for this team, and he's leading the charge at giving pucks away. It can't happen.
I don't see him not making the lineup though. Like, I don't disagree with you. I've been saying this for years. I don't, like, from the start of his career, right? It's like, was he a bust?
Yeah. Well, and who was I having this conversation?
Me?
Was it you? Yeah. And see, as a one overall, yes.
Yeah.
As a first round pick, no. I mean, he's had a long career. Yeah. He's been whatever. He's been fine. I don't know, man. Jack Johnson was brought in here on a PTO. Ryan Murray's making $750K a year. The fact that that's the conversation we're having, $6.5 million. Alternate captain or two guys you pulled out of the bargain bin over the summer on 1 year deals, like, that tells you everything you need to know about Eric Johnson to me. And again, they're not going to pull him out of the lineup.
Nope.
I know that.
I don't think they should.
Everyone watching knows that, but you know what I honestly think would be phenomenal for him? Cool. You're sitting tomorrow.
No shot. I don't think that's the correct decision.
They won't. Why not though? Just be fine with him being terrible on the second pair.
I'm a shift by shift Jack Johnson's game and send it to you, and you're gonna go again. All right, okay, that's
so
there are some brutal ones out there.
You're saying
from Jack Johnson.
Eric Johnson and Jack Johnson; those are in the same sentence for you. That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. I seriously think scratching Eric Johnson for one game, knowing that you're bringing him right back into the lineup the next game, I think that would be a good wake up call for him.
Put him in the doghouse for one game.
I don't think you fix the problem. The problem with EJ is
it sends a message of you can't roll out here and play that way and be in the lineup every night. Both Jack Johnson and Ryan Murray have had healthy scratches.
You just have to live with it with EJ though, because EJ's problem
is if you're fine,
he's
going to
make stupid decisions. And you had there's no scratching EJ isn't like, oh, now he's going to play better. It's just not how he works. He's just going to make bad decisions sometimes.
Well, then why do you scratch players then?
Because you can get something more out of them. I don't think scratching EJ does anything for him.
I disagree. I think, again, it's a message thing. You can't be careless with the puck.
Well, you could scratch the whole defense then tonight.
And that's what I'm saying. He's one of the few that, I mean, outside of obviously Taves and McCarr, but like he hasn't, Jack Johnson and Ryan Murray have both missed games this year as healthy scratches. Why is Eric Johnson above that? Because he makes $6 million? His play is on the same level.
I think his play is better. Marginally, and it's bad, but it's better. You have to ice the best lineup that you can.
And now, again, another reason why they're not going to pull him out tomorrow is because you'd be pulling him out for Curtis McDermott. but if Byram's good to go tomorrow, hey, we're gonna give you the old guy day off. Get some extra work in with Sean O'Leary.
I still think getting
learn
him,
how to make him, a pass.
Get used
again.
To that bottom pairing. That's what I'd be telling
and,
him.
And,
get
and
used
now,
to this.
And now here's where the voice of reason comes back, right? He's because of the injury, he's being asked to play up in the lineup.
Yeah.
The goal was for him this year, third pairing, right? I think everyone can agree he should be set and forget.
Third pair guy.
Yeah. That's what he's at.
Yep.
That's the stage he's at in his career right now. And so he's playing up in the lineup, and that's why, again, it's not going to happen, but I think a scratch would be good for him. Hey, we're trusting you. We're putting that letter on your jersey every night right now. You just can't be, you can't be bad like this.
All right. Let's talk about something positive before I lose my mind.
I told you in the first intermission, I walked up to Rudy. I said, I'm going to have some spicy Eric Johnson takes tonight.
And you got him in. Now we're moving on. Cale Makar. It's a nothing goal, dude. But the kid in a game where like everyone was awful. First of all, he had a couple shifts where you're like, oh, right. He's really, really good.
He's still on our team.
Yeah. Him and Devon Taves, I actually thought, because I agree with you, the defense as a whole was
bad. It was bad.
I liked him and Taves tonight. I thought Taves did a good job of they were the two of the few guys that I didn't think were completely careless with the puck. Thought they did an all right job of moving the play up ice. I actually gave Cale Makar a B+ on the grades tonight.
Cool with it.
Because I thought
he's their best player.
Yeah,
he outside was their of best maybe player, created like, a bunch of chances. But,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you can't fault him there.
Yeah.
I thought Gerard didn't look good at all. He kind of was exposed as well, though. Like they were like, oh, yeah, you're going to do, wait, oh, you're going to spin now? No. And just waited him out until he just kind of skated to the corner.
He had a couple plays that I can remember where he kept the play alive at the blue line, which is what you want from him specifically. But yeah, they just got caught too many times. They, you know, standing along the wall. You have two guys from Dallas just slowly closing in. Nobody's moving their feet.
Yep.
And including the puck carrier, and Gerard got caught a few times doing that. Just this way. Yep. Never mind, nowhere left to go.
Well, and the first period and a half, the Avs' zone exits were awful. I mean, their passing out of their own zone was
brutal.
Just terrible. For a team that relies so heavily on that to drive the puck forward for them, when it looks like that, look, everybody knew this game was over 5 minutes into the game because, like, oh, the Avs just clearly don't have it tonight.
And was it not exactly what we were talking about in the pregame? Two goals in the first 90 seconds. Like, just.
Yep.
This is just the way games go against Dallas.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's weird, too. Like, as they're going through the game, you're like, okay, when are they just going to shut this down and go, well, this game's over, move on.
Start looking at Nashville. Yeah.
And here's a disappointing part, right? Like, Abe Kubel had. You know, he had really been a positive
and then
kind
he
of
just
surprise.
Decides to run over Jake Oettinger for no reason.
And tonight was the first night where it's like, no, that's not a cheapy penalty. Because I really do. His first two with the Avs, I thought were like, oh, that's pretty ticky-tack. You know, those are reputation calls kind of thing. Tonight, it's like, bro, you just ran him over.
Oh, he leaned into him.
No effort to even try and stop or get out of the way at all.
He saw it, and then he leaned hard into it. If you watch the slow-mo, it's bad.
The Twitter reaction says it all. For a penalty that no one ever agrees with, Av's Twitter just kind of went, yep, you can't do that. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it leads to the goal that I honestly think kind of put it away.
That was the dagger, for sure.
Because I agree with you. That first 90 seconds, you're like, yeah, this one's probably done at 2-0. But had they kept it at 2, I mean, you get that goal from Kale. Yeah,
absolutely.
And,
like,
you know,
it's that 2-goal, like, right? Next goal wins, basically. Yeah. So if the Avs come back, it's most likely that
something
it's
dumb happens
up,
and a puck goes in the net, and it's a 1-goal game. And you're like, well, all right, maybe there's something here. But
and... well, I want to circle back to like the game as a whole at the very end. Yeah, just because I think people think that like we're way more down on the odds right now than we are.
No, this is
they're coming off a 6-game win streak. Right, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Like it's you're gonna lose games at the end of the day. The final score is 3-1. It's just the fact that honestly, I said it halfway through the first. I said the Stars could just leave the ice.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Avs are beating themselves right now, and that's what makes this so frustrating. Is you watch them play the way they played for the last 6 games, and it's like this is what they're capable of, and they just got away from it for what 95% of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
third period was a little bit better, but by that point too,
Dallas had shut it down. Yeah. Then though, like it's just not the
same.
That's
why it's hard to sample. Yeah, that, right. Right. It's like they're already like okay, we're good now.
All right,
3-0.
Well, you definitely need Breck Brews after a game like that. So. Go hit up your local liquor store, find the Breck beer near you with the Breck beer locator online, or come drink with us next time down at the bar, because drinking and being frustrated together is better than alone, I guess. At least if we're looking for a positive there. At least you can console each other at the DNVR bar. Check them out. They're super great. They also have the good company hard seltzers. You can also check out DraftKings Sportsbook, number one rated sportsbook app out there. Highly recommend you get in on these guys. They have ridiculous odds boosts for new accounts. Like, I don't even know. They just changed it, so I'm not sure what the new one is for post-Thanksgiving. But if I were to guess, it's probably something along the lines of if you sign up with the DNVR code with a new account and bet $1 on a hockey player existing, you get like $100 in free bets or something. That's usually what it comes down to. Let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, look at this. All right, so bet $1 on any team to score, and you get $100 in free bets. So if you...
Pretty sweet. You might have been sweating bullets tonight if you bet on the Avs.
Yeah, squeaked that one out a little bit, but they got there in the end. I don't know. Go bet on, like, a basketball game, and I think...
Oh, it's not just hockey. It's that's where you're going with that bet, for sure.
It'd be hard to get a shutout in that sport, so... Yeah, hit up DraftKings. Obviously, they have a bunch of awesome stuff. The same game parlays, something we're super partial to when it comes to the Avs. You don't get good odds to take the Avs on the money line, but you throw that in with the over, and all of a sudden, you're making pretty decent money. So check those out at DraftKings as well. Obviously, all the other stuff. We got our Saturday slate coming up tomorrow, so be sure to get in on your it's only 9 games tomorrow. Yeah, it's not like a super one.
Well, and a ton of teams have back to back, so true. I'm sure we're gonna hit it right on the head.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's the easiest money maker in the world.
Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. While you're at it, let's bring up our king of the game, because our king of the game is not the Avs. Our king of the game is the DNVR locker, baby. That's not the right one. There we go.
There it is.
If you need a little retail therapy after a game like that, you can get up to 90% off today at the DNVR locker, including a couple of shirts on sale for just 99 cents. So hit it up. I know there's a couple of Grubauer fans out here still. 99 cent Grubauer shirt. You can get it right now from the DNVR locker. Bunch of amazing stuff on sale too. All the shirts, the hats, all sorts of stuff going on for Black Friday. So, you know, you might be sad about the Avs, but at least you can be happy about the Avs shirts here at DNVR. Go with that.
And you'll be able to bust one out tomorrow when they bounce back.
There you go.
There. I like it.
Want to park a second here. Thoughts on Gabe Landeskog tonight?
I've lumped Rantanen and Landeskog together here as the top line, and it's not good enough.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, this is another thing I put in my grades to see all of them. Make sure you head over to the dnvr.com. Look, I think Gabriel Landeskog is a phenomenal captain. I think he gets a lot of heat from people that, you know, you use cherry-picked kind of games and stuff like that. But it's nights like tonight where I sit there and say, this is where he earns that criticism. Again, going back to my EJ rant there at the beginning, this is one of those games where your leaders have to step up when the team is clearly struggling.
Yep.
And you even saw it out of that first TV timeout. They kind of collected themselves a bit. That's where you needed Mikko Rantanen, Gabe Landeskog to go out and make a play. Didn't have to score. You didn't have to go, you know, pull a Michigan to get your team back in the game, but you need to make a play. We've seen Landeskog do it a million times, right? Go make a big hit, cause a turnover, create a chance, get an offensive zone start, win a draw.
Look, we can be as
none of that was happening tonight. There was a few that were, I think more than anything, he was just kind of a ghost, but there was also some very big negatives out there when he was on the ice as well. It's like, definitely not what you want in a game like this from that top line.
Yeah. We can be as mad about the defense, or I see the chat talking about Kemper, all you want in this hockey game.
I thought Kemper was fine.
Maybe the third one goes five hole on him, but it's a weird deflected puck.
And Blaze and I were laughing, dude. You got two Dallas Stars standing in front of the net. Like you said, you want to see him get that one five
hole.
Who
gets beat by the pass? Oh, it's Jack Johnson. Just saying. Okay.
That was not Jack Johnson challenged where he should have challenged. I'm almost positive it was EJ who just decided to fly the front of the net.
But not the point. The point is you can be mad at the defense. Av scored one goal in garbage time in this game. Real hard to win a hockey game when you score one goal.
But it's also hard, though, when there's two goals right off the bat, right?
Of course. You put yourself right in a hole. But
And I know Bednar is going to be looking at some of that tape, because on that second goal, too, I think it was Taves was standing right next to the eventual goal scorer.
Yeah.
Not a stick on him, nothing. It was just like watching.
You know why Joe Pavelski's so great against the Avs? Because they don't tie up sticks in front of net. They're awful at it. Yeah. They've been awful at it for years. It's just not something that they do well. And you get away with it when you're scoring six goals a night.
Mm-hmm.
But when your offense comes to a screeching halt, you can't get away with the cheap stuff on defense. And offense just, I'm mostly okay with throwing this game away, because it's like, look, Kadri wasn't going to score 3 points every night.
Yeah.
We've been saying it forever. Yeah. You're not expecting the production to keep up at the rate that it was. It's a little bit harsh that it crashes all the way down to zero.
Yeah.
But you kind of knew this was coming at some point.
Yeah. No, for sure. And it's, I honestly, like, coming to the bar tonight, I felt like, yeah, there's stout defense from EJ right in front on that Pavelski goal. You know, you just kind of, and there he is watching two Dallas Stars in front of the net punch one home. Just not good
enough.
I'm
just saying, if you go back and watch the goals that they scored, there's a bunch of
the next
Avs
person
defensemen
to mention a Johnson watching. Has to buy the rest of us shots.
Wait. So if I do it, I have to buy you guys shots?
Whoever says that name again has to buy all the shots.
All right, if I don't have to take one, I'm fine with risking.
Oh, no. You're going to take one. You just, and you have to purchase it too.
Damn it.
Can you say the guy that has the horse named McKinnon?
No.
No? Okay. What's that? Nice try.
I'm being baited.
Let's get into the forward core and actually break it down a little bit beyond the first line, because I agree with you, Jesse. The top guys weren't good enough, but Kadri, sure. It had to happen eventually. The rest of the second line wasn't there tonight, and specifically, as the Berkey stan on the show, Berkey was bad tonight.
Dude. I thought they created some chances, but Berkey couldn't hit anything.
For the dude who has the best shot on the team, hit the net, bud.
Yeah. Seriously. I've said it several times in the last month. I think he's got a top five release in the NHL. Andrei Burakovsky can just blow pucks by any goalie in this league, and the rate at which he misses the net is like mind numbing. Because it's like, dude, goodness. you get those on net, you're a 30 goal scorer every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Clearing the pucks for the other team, however.
Yes.
He's doing a great job of that right now.
Yeah, he's phenomenal there. And then, you know, like Ottinger was fine, but did you guys ever feel like he had to make maybe that Burakovsky one-timer after Makar made it 3-1?
Yeah, in garbage time again.
Right, right. Maybe that's one stop where you're like, wow, that's a really nice save. Other than that, I just thought pucks were just kind of hitting it. Yeah, like they weren't making
anything. He was squared up to everything, and there was like, there was no movement, so he didn't have to really do much.
Right. And not a lot of guys. The Avs generate a lot of offense from their blue line outside of Makar. Not a lot of guys putting pucks in the net. This game is fine to, you know, like you said, I'm fine writing it off. They won 6 in a row. They lost 1-3-1. It's gonna happen. It's whatever. And honestly, Dallas got 2 goals right off the bat, and the rest of the game was just kind of weird. It's just frustrating, though, because they seemed to get away from everything that made them successful for 2 weeks. Most everything.
Yeah. How much of it is they got away from it compared to things just weren't working? Because, like, the power play has been respectably good over this winning streak, and tonight the zone entries were just, I mean, I couldn't watch it. It was so bad. It was
the 2 quick goals right at the start. The fourth line struggled in that first period. They had a couple shifts where they got caved in, led to, you know, a lot of sustained zone pressure. Dallas was winning faceoffs clean in that first 20 minutes. So they were establishing zone time. And I just think they looked like they were chasing the whole night, and it was leading to sloppy passes, bad entries, bad zone exits out of their own end. You know, they had those 3 power plays in the first period. I don't think they won a faceoff. I don't think they established possession off a puck drop until the second period or after the first period on power plays. Also, it wasn't a penalty, so ultimately it was the right call. I didn't know that. I always thought the rule was once the arm went up, the call was made, you had to make the call.
Yeah.
Now, I know the 5-minute, you know, rule that they put in place allows for review of how long that penalty be. I didn't know that you could then just skate over to the score box and say, oh, LOL, JK.
For clarity, the refs can get together and reverse the call, but they can't, like, look at any footage of it. They just have to make the call based on live.
So it's basically like he went and asked somebody else. Somebody else is like, no, the stick just...
Yeah.
He broke his stick in half.
There was like 4 or 5 years ago, there was a very famous one of this happening to Crosby, and everyone was like, oh, of course they would overturn the call of the Crosby one.
Right.
Well, who broke their stick, though? Who was that down there?
I think it was a 6 in white.
Lindell?
Can't remember.
What happened to our TV? We're having a rave in here.
But again, it was the right call, so I'm not like mad about it.
Right.
I just didn't know that you could do that. When I first saw the replay, I said, ooh, the Avs got a freebie there. Nope.
Yeah.
Which I guess you'd rather them get the call right, but I thought for sure once that arm went up, you had to make a call.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm not going to nitpick it too much because I don't really think it would have made that much of a difference in this game.
I mean, I say that, but that came right at the end of what was that, the second period?
Yeah.
You know, hypothetical land. The Avs get one there and suddenly it's 2 goals
maybe
heading into
the
third.
Maybe it's a hockey game.
Right. But I don't know. I just thought that was weird. Honestly, the king of the game should have been someone put in the chat earlier. Darcy Kuemper skates.
They lasted a whole game. One whole game.
Again, on my grades, that was... I thought he was completely whatever tonight. Totally fine. But I was like, you know what? His skates stayed in one piece. Good for him.
Yeah.
Certainly, I wouldn't put any blame on Darcy. The first one was completely unstoppable for him.
Yeah. Like you said, that third one is maybe the one where... And I'm sure if you ask him, he would say, I wish I had that back.
But also just don't run over the other team's goaltender and give him a power play.
So. Right, yeah, that's one of those ones where it's like, yeah, there's 50 things that you should have changed before you had two guys standing alone in front to bury one.
Yeah.
Just disappointing all around, yeah. I think, especially coming off, you know, a couple emotional wins where you had to kind of grind them out. Jared Bednar breaks the record last game. You would have liked to see him keep some of that going forward. Ultimately, I think we're all in agreement. Yeah, you'll bounce back. It's fine. It's yeah. It's one game. It's no big deal.
If you're even win tomorrow night in Nashville and no one ever thinks about this game ever.
And everyone forgets about
but,
it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I hope, I can't even talk about him positively now. But you know, like I hope he does bounce back, and I know he will, and he'll score a goal tomorrow. And everyone on here
just
will
say Jack Johnson's D partner.
Yeah. The J and J line will bounce back.
Yeah, there you go.
But again, my biggest issue tonight, and it extends beyond him. It's all those guys that you are looking at and saying, we lean on you to be emotional leaders, be leaders on the ice, to be physical. I didn't think any of those guys, with the exception of Cale Makar, were good enough tonight. You know, Alex Newhook was fine. I honestly even thought Jason Megna was, you know, he was moving his legs.
Like there was energy.
Yeah. Like there's a couple things where it's like, he's at least trying to generate something. Again, that line got beat up pretty good in that first period. But like you had some of your depth guys doing stuff that you needed them to. You all of your big guys, the guys that this organization has said, we are pushing our chips into the middle with these guys. They've gotten it done for six games with a lot of help from the depth. They've done exactly what you've needed them to when your top guy's been out. We need you to chip in just enough, and the depth needs to step up just enough. Tonight, I thought you had the depth going, and you didn't have the top guys going, at least from a forward standpoint. Reverse that on D.
All right. Chat, when you're ready to move your Johnson into a depth role, hit up Manscaped. Use code DNVR to get 20% off. Get free shipping with the Perfect Package 4.0. They got all the tools you need, whether it be for shaving your hair, or they got deodorant, they got body wash, they got shampoo. They got you covered top to bottom. So whatever it is you need for taking care of that body, get Manscaped and use that DNVR code. Also, check out Hassle Cattle Company, as they got some delicious meats for you. Still got their holiday deal going on. Use the code DNVR15 to get 15% off. If you're a burger person, they got the Wagyu burgers, which are insanely good. If you're a steak person, they got all sorts of steaks, like tomahawk steaks, bone-in, ribeye, sirloins, a bunch of other stuff, too. You name it. They got you covered. You can get it shipped directly to your door, and, you know, it's just a great deal with the 15% off. If you're doing a big order, maybe get the whole neighborhood together, get a group order going. $200 gets you free shipping on top of all of that. So
that was one of your best ones.
Short and to the point. I like that. Sometimes I hit lucky on them. Also, be sure to check out Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD infused coffee that has really helped change a bunch of people's lives. It's got the CBD in it, so it helps with joint pain, migraines, other aches and pains, all sorts of stuff like that. You can have it right brewed up with your morning coffee like normal. If you want to try it before you buy it, we have it here at the bar cold brew, so you can come on down and drink the pain away, I guess.
got my K-cups delivered.
Oh, did you? That's right. That you ordered them.
That was the first thing I said. I said, that was fast as hell. when the guy, because, you know, we were working outside today, getting Christmas decorations up. I think it was USPS comes up to me, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Here. Wow.
Yeah, so Strava, big shout out.
There you go.
Great, quick, easy delivery.
Get them quick. Use code DNVR25 if it's your first purchase to get 25% off. And Jesse already mentioned it, but you know he's got his grades going up for tonight. AJ with the post game piece. We got that stuff for every game. So now great time to get a DNVR annual membership. I think there's still time. If you sign up today, you get like $60 in store merch for signing up for an annual membership. So
goes till midnight, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So go do it right now and get yourself a bunch of dope shirts on top of the membership.
We've got all kinds of really cool stuff. We're gonna be doing that. That's members only or early access for members and stuff like that. Here on our beat, at least. Yeah. So make sure you get signed up. We got all kinds of cool stuff coming.
Yeah. Really looking forward to some of the new stuff. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let's get into some positives. Blaze, I like New Hook. Is New Hook the only forward that's catching a dub tonight? What else are you looking at?
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of positives to go on the forward crew. I mean, what are you going to say here?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
No. I honestly agree with that. I thought New Hook, I hate that, like, we're saying he was like the standout forward, because there's huge chunks of that game where I don't even remember him being out there.
Yeah, but that's the whole forward core. That's what I was saying. It's
right,
like,
right.
You take this game and you just watch it and you're like, no one can make a pass.
Yeah.
No one's really moving to get open for any type of opportunities. It was hard to watch.
I loved him walking off the wall, though, on that power play. Yes. I think it was in the second period. Or maybe it was even in the first. Walking off the near side wall and
putting a quality shot on.
Yeah, giving that was one of the few, I just said a few minutes ago, that I didn't feel like the Avs had a ton of ultra-threatening chances. That was one of the few where, hey, you're going to give me the ice, I'm going to take it. We talk a lot about being a threat, right? Let teams think that you're an actual threat to shoot. And he did. He walked in and said, if you're going to take those passing lanes, sweet. I'll walk right down the middle here. And didn't go in, but he was one of the few that had an opportunity here too.
Solid energy going. He had some nice plays, digging pucks out in the defensive zone, willing to take hits to get pucks going in the right direction, and was actually, you know, making passes to people instead of
that were also on his team
in the general area of people. So I thought he was solid, and you know, you're digging pretty deep in the weeds to find positives in the forward core tonight, unfortunately.
I mean, but the only thing that you could say, if like Berkey actually hit the net there, he would have been positive just for as many chances as he had to shoot.
True. Generated opportunities, just didn't close them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we are going to have a busy week, you know, starting here, because someone just put it in chat. The Avs do go on a little run here of pretty difficult opponents coming up.
Yep.
You know, Nashville's an all right team. That to me is still a team that on paper the Avs should beat.
They played today as well, so it's not like there's a
So obviously both are traveling tonight, getting into Denver. But here's my positive spin. I think there's a couple things from that third period, and there's a couple things individually that guys can take forward, and you know, if you can build on that, great. Again, I thought this was another game where New Hook kind of continued to build. I don't think he was as good tonight as he has been in the last few games, but again, I don't think he took like a massive step backward. Cale Makar continued to be stellar. That third period, you had some things. I asked Jared Bednar the other day, you know, with a game like that Ottawa one, how much of that do you just toss right in the trash? How much do you keep? And he basically kind of said, you know, from an individual standpoint, there's a lot.
Sure.
For individuals, there's a lot you can take from games like that, good and bad. For the most part, yeah, there's some of that stuff that you're not really going to look back on. And to me, that's how tonight kind of felt. You can find some guys, Alex Newhook being one of them, Cale Makar being one of them. Like I said, even I really did. I thought there was a couple plays that I can remember where Sam Girard, wow, that's a nice keep. That's a good job keeping the play alive. Even if the rest of his game wasn't spectacular, there's some stuff you can take from here and say, we need to be folding this in with, wasn't really an effort issue tonight. It was just an execution. This is what good execution looks like.
Yeah, there was some effort problems in the first.
Yeah. For sure. And then, yeah, it was just too little too late. Ottinger got settled in. After he came back from being run over by Abe Kubel. And yeah, that game was done. But I thought there were some positives that you can take out of it from a film standpoint. And Makar just continues to be magic, dude.
That zone entry going around the net. Just the edge work is so unreal. Dude,
he goes around the net, gets a great A opportunity, and doesn't go in. And at that point, I'm just like, all right, yep. So they're just not going to score tonight, I guess.
And even him skating out of the zone, like just the separation he put between the forechecker and himself. Crazy.
He's on another level. He leads the Avs in goals. He's coming for the rocket. at this point. He's got goals in five straight games.
Forget the Norris.
Yeah. He wants it all. He wants it all. The other thing I'm going to emphasize here, and we've talked about it a lot, but it after a loss, it is particularly worth noticing. You know, top line was kind of a ghost, but they didn't have Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, look, some positives tonight, right? So in the Central, I believe the Blues lost tonight.
There you go.
2-4. So yeah. There's not really a lot of movement going on here, right? Like, and you still got- Dallas does creep up a little bit closer to the Avs. So it's getting to be a logjam time in this area. So really one game setback.
Yeah. And you've still got
three games in hand on everybody.
Yeah. Pretty much everyone. Yeah. At least three games in hand on pretty much everyone.
They didn't have Nate for the last six games, and they're winning.
Yeah, they're doing awesome.
It took them seven games to have a game like this without Nathan MacKinnon, without JT Compher, and without Bowen Byram. And the fact that it took this long is impressive. Like,
seriously. And on a night like tonight, like, this is one of those games where, yeah, I'll make the excuse. Like, you sit there and you go, if you have Nathan MacKinnon and Bowen Byram in your lineup,
you feel a little bit different about the way this game plays out.
Right, because there's two more people who can just kind of impose their will out there, and Nathan MacKinnon could have maybe, you know,
willed a goal
earlier in that game.
Carry that top line through. If you have Bowen Byram, you staple whichever Johnson you dislike more to the bench.
Right.
And you roll your five best D.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously, yeah. It's
other offenseman.
Yeah. So... despite how I still feel about
that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Rudo said it a second ago, and I let it go because I knew the context.
It's been said at least four or five times.
I said six in white. I said six in white.
We're just all buying each other shots.
Yeah, we'll all go do a shot after the show.
but I still, it's not that I don't feel that way, but you do sit there and you say, all right, if he's slotted in on that third pairing, if you got Nathan MacKinnon back and you get that third line that we were kind of talking about before the game with LOC and Newhook and, you know, Jost or Nichushkin or whatever, you feel a lot better tonight. The result's probably a little bit different. Sure. So you'll take it after a six-game win streak without two of your best players. And JT Compher, who I think all of us would take over pretty much anyone on that fourth line.
Yep.
So you can't let this go on for more than one game and get away with the injury excuse, because you've proven for six games that you don't need the excuse. But it happens.
As with every isolated loss, it's one game. You can't form a narrative based on one hockey game.
I still just go back to, right, like at the beginning of this, seven games ago.
Yeah.
Mac goes down
6-1.
And somebody goes, don't worry about it. And the way they were playing before that would be like, oh, don't worry about it. They're going to go 6-1. You'd be like, I wouldn't be sitting here anymore. You'd be like, get out of here, man. You are high on something. Get out.
it's good to remember that, because like we do these right after we spend that entire game watching it and kind of dissecting everything. So that's why we come up with some of the stuff that we say.
Right. And it's our job to break down every little detail. Right. But
and the other thing about it that really does for this team over the last, what is it now, 4 years, when it was the 48-point season, like it was like, yeah, they're just not good enough, you know? But what's frustrating when you watch a game like tonight and you say, I know what they're capable of. I know that the passing not being crisp, the passes to no one,
you could just see it wasn't there.
Right, right. And that's the stuff where when you sit here and you watch us, it's like, son of a bitch, like you're better than that.
Yep, agreed.
You're better than that. Miko is better than that. Yep. Landy's better than that. All jokes aside, EJ, you're better than that.
The Avs aren't the team that can just have those games and no one cares anymore because they're on the up. Now it's like there are expectations for you guys.
Right, right. And again, if they lose this and then go win, you know, 3-4 more in a row, not even that. Like we said at the beginning of the season, you got to have at least 12 points in every 10-game chunk. with the type of contenders the Avs are, that number's probably closer to 14, 15.
I think 14 is the number. If the Avs go 7-3
in every 10-game stretch,
you're happy. And they're 6-1 in this stretch right now.
Yeah. So, and so...
Well, I guess... Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, you're right.
So it's whatever. It really is. At the end of the day, large picture, it's whatever, especially because, yes, score effects are a real thing, but they finished that game pretty strong, right? So it's as long as you move past it, it's fine. I have full confidence that they will. They'll remember. Yeah, that sucked.
Yep.
We know how to play. That wasn't it. And you'll be good, but... It's just frustrating to see some of those mistakes out there.
To Alyssa's comment here, I was thinking the same thing. You're 90 seconds into a game and you're down 2-0. You're like, boy, this would actually make sense for a time for McDermott to fight.
Yeah.
But not in the lineup.
Yeah. And I looked it up. And again, this is where you always have to, with a game like this, if you were to either just go look at, if you were to look at just the box score or just, you know, some fancy stats, I think Kiefer Sherwood was like 13-8 in Corsi events. I can't think of one shift where I saw him out there.
I think the one play that I remember is he was part of the 2-on-1 rush
when where he came tripped out of the penalty over box. The ad on the ice.
Yeah,
the superimposed ad on the ice, and he tripped over it. You are right. I do remember that.
I also watched him fall behind the net.
See a lot of this Joshua's comment in the chat, and I want to tell y'all to chill it with this. Yeah. The Avs haven't played Dallas in 18 months. The wins and losses from the before time have no effect on the game that these two teams are playing right now. It's a completely different world that these two teams are in. So you can't be like, oh, the Avs have lost 9 of their last 12 games against Dallas or whatever. Those games are totally irrelevant to this season.
It's a completely different Dallas team. It's a different Avs team. And also, lost in all of this, I mean, I guess maybe not lost, we have touched on it, they scored 2 goals in the first 90 seconds and then a power play goal.
Yep.
Like, by no means was this like the Dallas Stars just flat out dominated and overpowered the Avs. The Avs beat themselves in a lot of areas this game. Dallas got off to a quick start. And actually, what should make people feel better and not that Dallas just has a matchup advantage, all Dallas has done, go look back at that bubble series. Dallas is get a lead and hold on for dear fucking life. Hold on, chip pucks out. How many times did they pin the puck on the wall tonight? Pin the puck on the wall. I seriously think they chewed up like 35 seconds of a power play. Like, literally, that has been Dallas's game plan against the Avs dating back to the bubble. Every one of those games that the Avs lost, with the exception of Game 7, was Dallas scoring 3 or 4 goals in a really condensed period of time and then just holding on, keeping the Avs from coming back. So it's not like they are this, juggernaut the Avs can't get over. Do I think that maybe there's a little bit of the mental side of it for the Avs?
Maybe.
Going back to that bubble for some of those core guys. But even to your point, Rudo, so much of this team is different from that team that lost in the bubble. So I would maybe subscribe to that a little bit, that the Avs have that kind of mental hurdle like they had with the Canucks back in the mid-2000s, where they went like 21 against the Canucks over like 4 seasons or something like that.
Roberto Luongo actually owned them for a long time.
So like I could maybe buy into that, but no, I don't think that this Dallas team is constructed in a way the Avs can't beat. If you watch any of these games, it's been get a lead and just try to shut it down. And they haven't necessarily been particularly successful in the shut it down part. It still gets a little, you know, loosey-goosey there at times.
And every team has that team that, you know, for whatever reason, they just can't do it. The Avs have dominated Boston for a decade for no apparent reason. It's just they beat that team because reasons. So it's just the way hockey goes sometimes.
See, but again, there's another comment. Did Dallas play well tonight?
I think they played well in what they were given, right? Like, it's pretty easy to play well when you're up 2-0 90 seconds into the game. Like
they played it to their game, right? Yeah. Which is they move, they take away time and space, and they did that. And when the Avs weren't giving the effort back, it just made him look that much better.
I think especially credit to Dallas for stopping his own entries. Like, yeah. There's another team out there. If there was nobody on the blue line, the Avs would walk into the zone just fine. Yeah. You know?
In that first period, I honestly don't know if that's true, though. Like, if there wasn't another team out there, I don't know if they would have walked into the zone just fine. Yeah, so, and I mean, look, Dallas played fine. That has more talent than yet. I mean, they played fine. But again, it's not like they come out every time and flat out just dominate the Avs.
I would use this with Ottinger especially. Did Ottinger play well? Absolutely. Did the Avs make his job easier than it could have been? Yes. Yep. So.
And I think that's actually the theme of tonight's game. Did Dallas play well? Yeah, they played fine. Did the Avs make it easy as hell on them all night?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Cool. I love it. I think that's a great way to end it. So yep. We're going to get out of here. Thank you, everyone. Oh, we got something. Oh, right. Super chats.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Forgot. Super chats.
What's Yahir even doing up there?
Yeah, slacking. Dude, I'm ready to forget about this game.
Yeah. Okay. For real.
Thank you, Vaguely Sober. Off to change the Wikipedia page again. Dallas still owns the Avs. You know.
Technically, you're not like this is.
There's nothing. Yeah. Pull the record up. Yeah. Okay.
Games are going to look bad when you play a team that's entire goal is to sit on a lead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the super chat, Billy.
Yeah, honestly.
And one more from Carrie. Thank you very much. This game was a joke. Sort of.
Yeah.
A great laugh we'll all have about it if the Avs win their next three. So
yeah, frustrating game, but yeah, I think we left it on a good note there.
Yeah, I think we're good. Thank you everyone watching, listening, however you consume the pod. We appreciate all y'all. We'll be back pregame, postgame tomorrow, same place. Looking forward to it. Hopefully a little bit better of a game against Nashville. Till then, we'll talk to you later.